Welcome to the Trill MBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, aka the Trillest MBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to the show. I have a treat for you guys. Today, I have some very VIP guests on the show today, sharing some very valuable resources. So this is definitely a resource episode. So you want to listen in. But first up, this week's Corporate Warrior Spotlight.
Corporate Warrior Spotlight.
This week, I'm shouting out a ray of sunshine, a boss, a wife, a mother, just an all-around badass, Ronnie Dickerson Stewart. I had the opportunity of meeting Ronnie at an event in Atlanta that I crashed because one of my friends invited me. And she is just one of the dopest people I have ever met. And recently, I mean, just a few days ago, it was announced that Ronnie is going to be the new U.S. Chief Diversity Officer at Publicis Group, effective February 3rd. In this role, Ronnie will be responsible for driving the organization's diversity and inclusion culture and initiatives in the U.S. She will also lead the Talent Engagement and Inclusion Council with the support of all diversity and inclusion leaders and chief talent officers in the market and coordinate the tremendous work done by business resource groups across all markets. A 15-year industry veteran with more than a decade of tenure at Publicis Group, Stewart was most recently SVP of Career Advancement and Inclusion at Digitas North America, where she led the agency's diversity, inclusion, and corporate social responsibility practice across North America and oversaw Digitas's performance management and career advancement efforts. She spent the early stages of her career in media-focused roles working across a range of clients at Burrell Communications, FCB, and Starcom. Stewart is a well-respected and awarded industry leader with recognition such as AdColor Rising Star and Change Agent, 4A's MAIP Paragon Award, and 3% Conference's Nancy Hill Award, and that was just in 2019. You guys, on top of that, Ronnie has an awesome podcast. And I love listening to it. And I hope this new role means that she gets to continue to put out super dope content on her podcast, the Oh Hey Coach Career Clinic podcast. Ronnie, I love what you're doing. I hope this soon we can coordinate schedules and you can come on the show and talk about your journey to the top as Chief Diversity Officer. We are also proud of you. I can't wait to see the amazing things that you're going to continue to do in 2020 and beyond. Congratulations again, Ronnie, on all of your success. If you want to nominate a boss Black girl magic in corporate, hit me up at ask@trillmba.com and let me know about a badass Black woman who's killing the corporate game and moving and shaking and climbing her way to the top. I want to highlight all of us this season and beyond. So hit me up. Okay, guys, I am so excited to have these next two lovely ladies on the show. They are representing an organization I know you guys have heard of, leanin.org. Yes, the one and only Sheryl Sandberg's organization. Yeah, no, she's not on the show. Ha ha, gotcha. So, but in her stead, I have the wonderful Raina Sadler, Raina Sadler is the VP of People and Managing Director at the Sheryl Sandberg and David Goldberg Family Foundation, the nonprofit that runs Lean In and Option B. For the past 5 years, Raina has helped Lean In launch initiatives that raise awareness on issues critical to advancing women at work and developed programs to help companies build equal and inclusive workplaces. Prior to joining the foundation, she was the head of product at Topics, an online media technology company. Raina holds a bachelor's degree from Stanford University and a master's degree from Harvard Divinity School studying religion, ethics, and politics. Girl, I hope they told you I curse. Okay. She lives in East Palo Alto with her husband, with whom she is raising 3 daughters to have a strong sense of social justice and a passion for driving social change on issues impacting women of color. And we also have Pamela Nanga Inge, the senior communication specialist at the Sheryl Sandberg and David Goldberg Family Foundation. She supports internal and external communication efforts and campaigns across the organization's 2 initiatives, Lean In and Option B. Pamela has a passion for empowering communities, as reflected in her previous professional experience, which spans social impact consulting, public policy, gender research, and journalism. Woo, that's a lot. Pamela has a BA in communication and political science from the University of California, Davis. In her free time, she enjoys running, binge-watching her favorite shows, keeping up with all things Rihanna. Yes, yes. Go ahead, Navy. And spending time with friends and family. Raina and Pamela, welcome to the show. Woo! Yay.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. We're so excited to be here.
So, listen, I reached out to the organization because I started my new gig in October and I went to a meeting and they said, oh yeah, this is a Lean In circle. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what's that? So I got on the Google and I was like, oh, this is whole like array of resources and knowledge and just all this goodness. So I'm so excited to have you guys on the show because I think there's this thing out in the zeitgeist that Lean In is not for Black women. And I want to dispel that today. I believe this organization is doing great work for all women. And so I really want to talk about like, what is leanin.org from the horse's mouth?
Thank you so much for having us. We are so excited to be here and talk to you all. So just a quick context on us. I am Raina. I joined the organization in 2014, which is actually the year right after Lean In launched. I joined as a tech and product person. I had worked in startups as my background and a little bit of context on me. So I'm mixed. My mom is Filipino. Her family immigrated here when she was 12. So I'm first generation on my mom's side. And then my dad is mixed Black. And I've just always been really interested in building, you know, really diverse and inclusive, healthy team where I could thrive and where people of all different backgrounds could thrive. So about a year or so after I joined, our CEO noticed that I was really interested in pushing conversations around team culture, around hiring, around diversity, inclusion, or around a lot of the different levers that help people thrive at organizations. So they let me take over and own and drive that. And now, you know, I've been here for 5 years and I oversee our team operations and work across the team to help make sure everything's running just as smoothly as possible. And I've also had the pleasure of working with the illustrious Pam for the last 2 years.
Thanks, Raina. I'm Pam. I've been with Lean In since October 2017, so a little over 2 years. And I've worked across both the marketing and communication side of things. So that means really helping tell the story of the work that we do and bringing into life why gender equality matters. And hopefully also inspiring people to take action because that's what it's all about. As you introduced me, I have a social impact background and I'm very passionate about women's issues. And especially as a young professional woman, it's really awesome to be able to do work that's directly impacting me and relevant to my experiences and the women that I know. And I grew up in Silicon Valley, where Lean In is based. So I've been here for a long time, and it's a very diverse place. And that's very core to like the work that I do. And I have a deep appreciation for how bringing different points of view, having women from all backgrounds, makes the workplace better.
Awesome. That is amazing, you guys. I am really appreciative to people like you who actually like do the work. Like, your work is doing the work, whereas my work is selling people things that they probably don't need to eat. I work in consumer packaged goods as a brand manager, and that's what I've been doing for a number of years.
I said, we love food and snacks, so it's all good. Everybody's got to do their part.
Right. So what I want to understand from you guys, and thank you for sharing like your journey to this organization, but I want to understand more about the vision and the mission of this organization. And I want to dispel some myths. I think people think that this just came from a book that this, you know, high-powered executive woman wrote. And so I want you guys to give a more firsthand account on your understanding of the vision and mission and how that impacts everyday women.
So thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to this. I think, you know, a lot of people, as you mentioned, are familiar with the book, Lean In. The organization is about 7 years old. We were founded at the same time as the book, which was written by Sheryl Sandberg. And we are also co-founded by Rachel Thomas, who's our wonderful, fearless leader, CEO, and president. And, you know, the book was written about 7 years ago, but the org has been moving and growing and evolving over the last 7 years. And what we're really focused on is raising awareness on issues that are critical to advancing women, particularly women at work, and encouraging people to take action, whether it's encouraging companies to adopt our solutions, which are research-backed, or working with men, pushing them and encouraging them to make sure women are getting equal access to their mentorship and their sponsorship. Overall, we're just really focused on trying to build a more equal and resilient world.
I love that. And I think it's important, and I'm glad you pointed out, that we have to get men involved. We have to get them to see the light that, one, helping women in the workplace is not detrimental to them. I think a lot of times what we've seen is that men think the workplace is a zero-sum game, when that's absolutely far from the truth. This isn't like football or baseball. It's not a sport where there's a winner and a loser. We are actually in competition only with ourselves as humans in life. And corporate America, at least the companies that do really well, tend to reflect a organization that's highly collaborative and highly diverse.
That's such a great point. I mean, from our data, we know that, you know, companies do so much better when they do have a diverse population. And one of the findings from our Women in the Workplace report, which is one of our core programs this year, is that, you know, when companies are focused on adopting fair and equal policies, actually all employees are happier. So it's not just women. It's really good for the men as well.
Yeah. And I wish that people got that.
Yeah.
I wish that people got that. But then I think if people got that, then you guys might not have a job. So I don't know.
We joke about that all the time. We're ultimately actually trying to work ourselves out of a job.
Which would be amazing.
Would be amazing. It would be a great problem to have.
Yes. And I know you guys would get even better jobs, right? Because there would be equality in the workplace. So that would be awesome. I want you guys to tell us a little bit more. You've alluded to a report. Can you tell us a little bit about the methodology for the report and why you guys put so much resources behind it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, a lot of people don't realize that we do this report, but it's actually the backbone of a lot of our work is our research. So the Women in the Workplace report is actually the largest comprehensive study of the state of women in corporate America. And we also actually believe it's the largest data set on the experiences of women of color. and on women of color outside of the U.S. Census, which is really amazing. And we do this every year for the last 5 years in partnership with McKinsey & Company, which is really known for, you know, the integrity of their data. So what it is it's a survey of a lot of different large corporations in America, but they're multinational organizations. And what we're looking at is the data on how women are really doing at work. You know, we believe that you can't fix a problem that you don't understand and that you're not measuring. So we're looking really closely at, you know, how women are faring in the workplace. Are we advancing at the same rates as men across all levels? What are employees experiences like? How does this differ by race, by sexuality, by abilities? Many times, actually, when you read an article and you see people citing data on how women are doing it in the workplace or how Black women are doing in corporate America, they're using data from our report, which is really exciting. So we work really hard to bring these findings and solutions forward so that men and companies can really benefit from them. And, you know, the data does seem bleak at first every year. You know, we're making progress at sort of a glacial pace, but it also gives us an opportunity to go and course correct and lift up findings that we think are really going to move the needle.
That makes me so happy that not only do you commission this report every year, but then you also work to make it actionable. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to have you guys break down how to use the study or give us some ideas on how we can use the study and some of the other leanin.org tools available to us to further diversity and inclusion within our workplaces. Because I think it's not only actionable for the work that you guys are doing as an organization, but I really truly believe this is actionable for us individually to be armed with data points and knowledge to go into our company. So when we come back from the break, we're going to give you guys some tips and tricks on how to use these resources. Hey, you guys, I'm trying to see something. So last night I was on Twitter and I follow a couple of CEOs who are on Twitter, which is always weird because, you know, that's probably not them doing anything with their social media. It's probably a whole team of PR people. But the CEO of T-Mobile, his name is John Legere. I think that's how you say his name. I don't know exactly quite how to say it, but he seems real personable and like you can reach out and touch him. And so I was like, well, I got questions for CEOs. So why don't I just start asking them on Twitter? So I started asking him a question with the hashtag CEO questions. So follow CEO questions, and I'm going to be trying to see if these CEOs will talk to a sister and answer our questions about the job that we eventually want. So follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, all the internet at TrillMBA Show. It's that simple, at TrillMBA Show. All the places. All right, let's get back to the show. Okay, and we are back with our friends from leanin.org, Raina and Pam. Thank you guys for being on the show. Now, before the break, we talked about what the Women in Workplace report was, how it came about. But you mentioned that there are some actionable things that you guys do with the bullet points and data points that come from the report. So I'm wondering if you could share with me maybe some ideas or things, or maybe you guys have already thought about, like, here's what we would like, you know, consumers, or I'm sorry, I'm a brand manager. Y'all are consumers out there. But specifically, women who are in the workplace, what could they do to bring to light, you know, issues in the workplace using this data and like bringing it to their companies, which can be scary, actually?
Yeah, I think that is a great question. I'm constantly having these types of conversations with my friends, specifically my Black women friends who are, whether they're like me starting out their professional careers or even more advanced. It's really hard to navigate the workplace, and we're having very specific experiences, whether it's feeling like you're being passed up for advancement, but you don't know if it's you, or maybe you're not connecting with your coworkers as well as everyone else, or they don't really understand, you know, your style or approach at work. So I'm having these conversations all the time. And what I'm really thankful for is working at LeanIn, because I can let them know that, you know, I can let them know that their experiences are valid, that they're not the only ones going through this, and also give them our research to actually take to their managers or to the HR people at their companies to advocate not only for themselves, but others in the workplace. Speaking on, for example, being in the Silicon Valley where we're at, a lot of the times Black women are working in predominantly white spaces or male spaces, whether it's the tech industry or other trades, and it can be very isolating. Maybe they're wondering, you know, am I the only one going through this? Or they don't have the language to name certain things, or they might not feel empowered because, you know, you're all by yourself.
Right.
So in the Women in the Workplace report, we call that the only experience, where you're the only woman on your team or in your work environment, and it has a real impact on your day-to-day life. You're more likely to be sexually harassed. You're more likely to think about leaving your job, and you're facing these real obstacles. Women of color especially, you know, it's even worse. And so LeanIn really understands that this is the experience for a lot of Black women. They're underrepresented not only in corporate America, but also other industries. And it's just not okay. So we focus our research to really highlight the difference in experience, the only experience. And it's really great to be able to share this research and to call out this experience, because a lot of the times companies are trying to solve the problem for all women, and it usually ends up helping white women and leaving other women behind. And so with this report and focusing on this only experience, we can really address, you know, the specific experiences of Black women and make sure that, you know, companies are looking at gender and race.
Amen. that's what I love about the study. It's very honest. I would say it's probably one of the trillest D&I endeavors that I've seen in, since my post-MBA career started almost 10 years ago. So I really appreciate this organization for doing the hard work of having to listen. I think it's uncomfortable sometimes for people to hear another person's truth, especially a truth that they can't relate to. And what this study does is it takes away me having to tell you what's happening to me, and it puts it in a more scientific way that's a little bit more palatable for some people, because the numbers don't lie. And that's one thing I know my listeners will appreciate, because I get a lot of emails saying, oh my God, I love your show because I thought I was the only one. Or, oh my God, I can't believe that other people are going through this. I was feeling so alone. I hear that a lot in my letters that I get from listeners. And so that's why I do this show. And that's why I thought you guys would be perfect guests for the show. But what I'm really excited to talk to you guys about, because it was all new to me, are these LeanIn circles. Can you give me like the story or the history behind how this came about? I mean, this curating these groups across the world of women helping each other, like, I feel like it's what God meant for us to do. I don't know about y'all. You went to divinity school, Raina. You tell me.
Well, first of all, you calling the report the trillest thing is like made my entire week and perhaps year. Like, I love that endorsement. That was awesome. So on the circles, I'm so excited that you discovered the circles. You know, one of our core pillars of our work is the research. And then the other side is on the community side, these LeanIn circles. So circles are, you know, small groups of women who meet regularly to learn together, get new skills, encourage each other, build their network. And they come in so many different shapes and sizes. We've got over 46,000 circles in 174 countries. I think At one point in time, we had circles on all seven continents. There was a circle that was meeting in Antarctica, which is pretty badass.
Right.
I also swear.
Yay!
But yeah, yay! We celebrate that. And so, you know, they can be groups of friends. They can be coworkers. A lot of women meet in circles like you first experienced it, which is at their company. Mm-hmm. You know, Pam spoke about, you know, we all know this feeling of what it's like to walk in the room and you're the only woman in the room. You're the only person of color in the room. And, you know, circles are a direct solution to that only experience, particularly within companies. So, you know, women are getting together, getting the support they need from each other at their companies. So you can start a circle with your friends in your community or, you know, with other Black women at your company, other women at your level, just depending on, you know, what kind of support and what kind of situation you're in. We make it really, really easy. So our team provides circles with materials. There's skill building videos. There's videos and some resources we have on fighting the different types of bias that you face every day in the workplace, which we know is holding women back from getting promotions, from getting hired. They've got different worksheets on topics like negotiating your salary and discovering your strengths. So there's a lot of really rich, awesome, helpful resources out there.
Wait, y'all got tools? Wait, so I don't need to do the show anymore? Hold on.
I think we still need the show.
The great thing about circles is you can really make them your own. So it wouldn't replace your show, but it could be something that could complement the work that you're already doing. And one great example of this is our Lean In Women of Color Network. So a network is actually multiple circles coming together. This one specifically is made up of 9 circles with more than 2,000 members. And it was started and is led by Julian Allen, who is a Black woman leader in the Lean In community. She's really been an amazing advocate and is super passionate about creating a safe space specifically for women of color. And so they have held events on things like equal pay for Black women and Latinx women, and are just really creating this niche space where women can come and talk about, you know, their specific experiences and provide solutions for each other and really support each other through professional challenges and really build together. So that's just one great example of the work that circles are doing.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. And Raina, I feel like you were going to add something there.
Yeah, you asked about the initial idea behind circles or what's the story there. So I think a lot of people don't know this, but one of the main original ideas behind circles was one of, I think, our founders or board members was taking this really amazing executive leadership class for women at Stanford. And the information in it was just really taking her skills to the next level. But, you know, that class, I think, was like $30,000 or $40,000. And she thought, wow, wouldn't it be amazing if every woman could have this knowledge? It shouldn't just be the women whose companies or who individually can afford to pay for that. So the idea of that, coupled with, you know, the research showing that people learn and accomplish more in small groups, was to take information and really democratize the access to it, which is a lot of what Lean In as an organization is all about. You know, we want to take the best research-backed solutions. We push that a step further, really pushing to make sure that they're intersectional solutions, not just solutions, as Pam said earlier, that just work for all women or just white women. But, you know, taking that research, taking those solutions and getting them to the hands of more people in a way that's compelling and that's accessible and that people can really digest in a helpful way.
I absolutely love this. I have to be honest, when I first went on the website to look up the Lean In Circles, what I thought was really cool was the user experience. I loved how I could search for where I was in my area, and then these circles popped up that were you could join. It told you how many people were in the group. Some were like 6 people, some were 100 people, and there were all different types of industries and knowledge base. Like, it just felt like a smorgasbord of knowledge right at my fingertips. What was some of the thinking that went into bringing this together, or has this evolved? Or am I just seeing like what has evolved over time? Like, when did the Lean In Circle start, and what do you guys do to get feedback to constantly improve that experience for people?
So it's funny, when in year one, and I can't take any credit for this because I wasn't here when we launched, but they had this vision of, you know, starting Lean In Circles, and Cheryl and Rachel thought, wow, wouldn't it be great if we had, you know, 1,000 circles within a year or two. And, you know, the book launched and the org launched at the same time. So I think by the time I joined, there were about, you know, 15,000 circles after about a year or so. And so they've really taken on a life of their own. As we said earlier, they're in, you know, over 174 different countries. There's, you know, Lean In Women in Finance, Women in Tech. There's, you know, industry-based ones, Lean In Women of Color, Lean In Latinas. So we've sort of tried to feed the community and give it what it needed. The tech team is going to be so excited, the digital team, that you've loved the experience. So we've tried to make it really easy to come on to leanin.org and just search for circles near you, search for circles at your company. And also, if there isn't one, you know, made it really easy for you to start a circle or start a network. Mm-hmm. And the data behind circles is actually really powerful. 86% of women who have been in circles attribute a positive experience in their life or a positive impact on their life to their participation in a circle, whether it's, you know, finding a new job, getting a raise, asking for more, or just getting the support they need. You know, women in the circles are having a really, really positive experience, which we think is really important to us.
Yes, definitely.
And you asked about feedback. How do we know what their needs are and what their experiences are like?
Yeah.
And we're in constant communication with them. We have a whole team within our team dedicated to their experiences and making sure that we're being as supportive as we can. When we're able to meet them in person, we do that as often as we can, especially our leadership team. And we also have regular surveys that we run to really get a sense of what are you getting out of this experience? How has circles helped you? What are some needs that aren't being met that we can improve on? And we also hold an annual conference where they get to meet each other in person, get to exchange, you know, the best tips, best strategies for strengthening their circles, getting more membership, and getting more out of the circles experience. So we actually bring them together, usually here in the Bay Area, but I think moving forward, we might do different locations. And it's really amazing to see and meet in person the women from all over the world who are really the core of our community and helping build other women up and really taking this to the next level. We couldn't do it without our amazing leadership and the members themselves.
That is amazing. So what time of year does this happen? And can I crash? Like, I want to come.
That's a great question. We haven't locked the date. It's usually in the summer or fall.
Okay.
And we're still planning it, but we'll definitely reach out and get you more information.
Awesome. I love it. And I will have joined the Lean In circle at work. I just need to find the one that I want, because there's a lot of them. I work for a huge corporation.
Yeah.
And so I have to find the one that I feel like I can not just, you know, take from, but also contribute to. And I think that's something that's really important when we come together, is that it's a give and a take, ladies. So don't expect like, oh, well, I'm going to find a Lean In circle and they going to mentor me. No, you need to come with what you bring to the table as well. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the ideas too behind it was that, you know, not everybody has easy access to a mentor or a sponsor. You know, getting men involved is really important. And you talked about that earlier, but a lot of the data is around the power of peer mentorship. You know, it's often just as effective to have a peer mentor. There's so much wisdom that we can bring each other and share with each other. So women are, you know, able to get a lot of that out of each other.
Amen.
And as you mentioned, the give and take, it's a great leadership opportunity. So maybe if you haven't gotten those kind of chances in your regular job or in other areas of your life, this is a great opportunity for you to step up and really be that leader in kind of a smaller scale where you're comfortable and it's people that you know, but you get to practice those skills, practice, you know, maybe throwing an event or public speaking or sharing a skill that you have with others. And so that's also another thing that you're giving, but you're also getting something out of it in that same sense.
Oh, I love that. So you've got the sharing of information. You've got the development of skill sets. You have the learning how to navigate. You have, I mean, networking, but then also it goes beyond that, right? Because when you're in a lean-in circle at work, this could potentially lead to you gaining advocates, gaining sponsors, and gaining, you know, more formal mentors at work. And so I see all these great possibilities with lean-in circles, whether it's at your job, if you're at a company that has lean-in circles at your company, or if you join one in the community where you live in, there's no reason for you not to tap into this resource. It's very simple to do. Ladies, correct me if I'm wrong, but you just go on over to leanin.org and you will see a menu, you know, look around and you will find Lean In Circles. And there's a whole web page dedicated to Lean In Circles.
Yep, you nailed it. That's right.
So there's no excuses, ladies. These are some great resources. And then they also have the tools behind the Lean In Circles, which is so powerful. So we're going to take a break. And just in case you don't get it, we are going to tell you what the most important thing is from this episode. Stay tuned. Hey, it's Felicia with the Trill MBA Show. And if you are out there and you have a business that would cater to African-American women between the ages of 27 and 45, high income earners, medium income is $75,000 a year. If that is the type of audience that you want to talk to, hit me up at ask@trillmba.com. I am advertising this spot right now. I could be talking about you and your product and all the great things that it could do, like right now. If only you would hit me up and ask me to talk about you. Advertising is open. The show is for sale. So come on. Support the Trill MBA Show. Advertise your product to some phenomenal women who are out here in corporate America doing great things. And support us. Hashtag we all we got. All right, you guys. So I have been so blessed and fortunate to have the wonderful Raina and Pam with leanin.org telling us all about these wonderful resources. And I am so excited about these Lean In Circles. I just want to make sure, you guys, did I forget anything? Is there anything else leanin.org has for us?
Yeah, we have so many resources. And one of the ones we want to highlight is our 50 Ways program. So after fielding the Women in the Workplace report for so many years, we wanted to give companies and their employees actionable ways to address the everyday bias. So our overall mission is to get more women in leadership, and we know that that makes companies stronger and improves the experience of everyone. But those everyday instances of bias, those microaggressions really add up and are really impacting the work experience that women have and holding them back. And so what we wanted to do is think of what are some of those everyday situations that people are going through, men and women at work, and how can they address those in the moment and give those solutions. So we actually, you know, we provided some of those from our own personal experiences. We talked to our friends. We've reached out to a wide network to make sure that we were really being inclusive and thoughtful and grounded in, you know, the real everyday things that people are going through. So we came up with 50 specific examples that bring to life the larger trends that we talk about in our research. And these examples are on cards, where on the front you have a scenario and on the back you have white matters and what to do, specifically what to do. For example, mentorship. We talk a lot about how mentors are so instrumental in lifting up women, particularly women of color. But a lot of the time, people are drawn to, they want to mentor someone who reminds them of themselves or that they are comfortable around or relate to or maybe know. And that really limits who they're reaching out to. And so if a lot of, you know, people in senior leadership are white men and they're mentoring other white men and bringing them up through the ranks, you don't have those women of color, people of color going up through the leadership, getting that same information, that same training. And so that's one of our examples on the card. You realize that a colleague who is a man only mentors men. And on the card, it'll tell you why it matters. As I explained, they're missing out on creating new opportunities for a more diverse group of people. And then it also tells you what to do. So I'm reading this straight from the card. This is an example of advice that we give. What to do: talk to your colleague, explain why mentoring is so valuable, and share your observation that he only mentors men. Recommend he mentor at least one woman and offer to help him identify a few promising candidates. If he confides he's uncomfortable being alone with women, point out that there are plenty of public places to meet and remind him that mentorship really matters. And so that's just like a concrete thing that you can do in the moment. We give you kind of the language or the framework to have that conversation with your coworker. And that's just one example of a real life situation that people are going through at work.
Okay, hold on. You know, this is a Trill MBA show. We got to keep it trill. So I'm going to tell y'all right now, I would not be comfortable telling a white male leader, basically calling him on his unconscious bias. Like, do you set up the how to have the courage to have that conversation? Because I for one, am not having that conversation. I don't know about y'all.
Yeah, I mean, this is something we think about a lot with the cards. And I mean, you know, there's 50 different situations. So they're what to do and why it matters. It depends on what the scenario is. Mm-hmm. But on some of them, it's, you know, you can say this to your manager or to a friend who you feel like an ally who would feel more comfortable speaking up, like, you know, keeping it super real. Obviously, there's sometimes where you are not going to be able to be the person to bring that idea forward. You're going to need to do it through a trusted mentor, ally, and it's not going to be you. But there's so many situations I've been in where I'm like, man, I wish I knew what I should have said, you know, or a colleague has told me something they've overheard and they wish they knew. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of different examples trying to arm people with more of the language and more of the tools, although not every single one, you're totally right, is going to be able to be something based on the power dynamic that you're comfortable and, you know, have the, you know, stability and access and privilege to be able to name. And that's something that we're definitely aware of.
Cool thing about this program, the way it really works is, in an ideal situation, it's a group setting where you're all talking about the cards and having a discussion, hopefully like a mixed gender setting, but you can configure it however you want. So as you're reading that card out loud with your colleagues, that might be something that you bring up, like, hey, you know what, this is a great suggestion, but as a Black woman, I don't know if I would necessarily feel comfortable going up to my colleague, as he just said. And that's something that you can make your coworkers aware of and have that conversation of, like, why wouldn't she be comfortable or how can I help? So it's really not only just telling you what to do, but also starting that discussion, opening up that discussion in a neutral way where the scenarios are already laid out for you. So it doesn't have to be a personal experience where maybe someone feels attacked or you're calling someone out directly, but you might relate to the scenario and we provide them for you so we can facilitate those conversations in maybe a more comfortable way.
You know what? Here's why I'm excited about this. Because a lot of times what I've experienced as a Black woman who's passionate about D&I and who gets involved in diversity recruiting and retention work, and senior leaders always ask me the question, well, you like it here, so why can't we recruit more of you? And it's like, if I told you the truth, you wouldn't like me anymore. That's what you're thinking. And I think this is great because there have been a lot of times I've done work streams where I had to figure out how to curate this type of experience, but I didn't have the tools. So this is great because now I can use this as a tool when I've been deemed the Black person to help save the organization or the department.
Yeah.
From themselves. Okay, yeah,
I love these cards so much. I feel like, you know, one of the findings that we have from our Women in the Workplace report, our biggest finding from 2019, was what we're calling the broken rung, which is that, you know, for every 100 entry-level men who are promoted to manager. So if you think about the entry-level, that's everyone has the same amount of experience. They came from, they're at the same level of schooling. You know, there's no real big differentiator between who would make a good manager and who wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But for every 100 men who are promoted to manager, only 58 Black women are promoted. And for every 100 men who are hired, only 64 Black women are hired. And so, you know, when we come up with solutions like the 50 ways, we're really looking at getting into that experience of like, what is the bias that's holding women back from being promoted and being hired? So it's these little things like, you know, they're not getting the same mentorship as Pam's example mentioned, or another card that I hate, but love that it surfaces is, you know, you overhear a colleague say, it'd be great to hire or promote more women, but I worry about lowering our bar. Ooh. It's all these little sort of small, seemingly kind of like low-key, insidious, like interactions that happen to Black women and to, you know, women of color and kind of all women in the workplace that are holding us back. And it gives everybody the tools and the language to talk about those issues and understand how to navigate and push back and challenge them. Like, ultimately, what we want to see is, you know, a closing that gap, that first step up to manager, and removing a lot of those barriers.
Man. Real quick. Okay, so what's the answer to if somebody touches your hair?
That's a good question. Pam, do you want to do the one?
Yeah, I mean, so the example that we have in our card is somebody actually reaching out and touching somebody else, and maybe they don't realize that it's a harmful thing. They think it's harmless. They're curious. So what we tell them, we give them the language, you know, sorry, I shouldn't have touched you without asking. And really call them to be more thoughtful about people's personal space, especially in times like these. We really want to be mindful of people's personal space. Mm-hmm. And then also we recommend that when in doubt, keep your hands to yourself. I think
elementary school works.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, some of the power in this card is being in a room with a group of people where right. You're naming that that's a thing that happens. People who are Black who are in the room can speak to what that experience is like. Everybody can, you know, kind of like what you loved about the Women in the Workplace survey. You know, we're naming that experience so that mm-hmm. you don't have to do it.
Yeah, I really wish I had this card in particular at my first job, because I had someone reach out to touch my hair and I physically had to dodge her, like move my body to get away from her.
Did you do the Matrix move? You know, you had to do the Matrix.
Exactly, the Matrix slow motion.
You're
exactly.
Like,
nah. But I didn't have, like, I didn't feel empowered to say anything or do anything about it at the time. But I think if there was a setting where we had used 50 ways, it had come up, it would have already been called out. Maybe it might have not been a thing, but I could at least reference, like, hey, remember that card? Or remember when we did that?
Remember, don't touch me.
Yeah. This is something that, you know, I'm uncomfortable with. So everyone kind of starts from the same level of knowledge, or a baseline level of knowledge, where it opens up the conversation and doesn't have to be, you know, about you personally, but you can use that to help yourself.
Yeah. You know what? I feel bad about the whole hair touching thing, because there are times where one of my friends, not at work, right? But like your personal life, when one of your friends gets this really cool curly weave, or, you know, they do something jazzy and special. And low key, I like literally have asked, I'm like, look, I just want to see. And I will ask, can I touch their hair? And so low key, I can understand the fascination.
Yeah.
But I also understand that I am a human being. I am not your pet. Don't try to pet me. Don't touch me.
Yeah.
Like,
especially if it's like, you know, your coworker, your manager,
yeah.
Someone determines like your promotions, you know.
Yeah. No, don't touch people. Kindergarten, don't touch people. I'm glad we established that today, you guys.
Baseline.
Oh my God, I appreciate you guys so much. And I just wish we could talk forever, but we all have to go back to work. But real quick, I always end the show with this new segment called The Most Important Thing. And I say always as in season 4, we're always going to do this now. So this is new, actually. But what I wanted to do was cement for people the biggest takeaway that they should have. So real quick, in your own words, and you can pick who goes first, what is the most important thing that you guys want the listeners to know about leanin.org?
The most important thing.
Sure, I'll go first. I think the biggest takeaway that I want people to know is leaning in isn't about fixing everything all by yourself. It's centered on the ideas that, number one, knowledge is power. And number two, we're stronger when we share our experiences with each other and we support each other. So even if you're the only one that looks like you or one of the few at work and maybe you feel alone, you don't have to go at it alone. And LeanIn is a great place to start to make those connections and get the resources to really turn things around.
Awesome. Raina?
Yeah. So on the company side, I mean, one of the core takeaways we'd love for you to have is that, you know, LeanIn is a place that's just like got that good data. We've got that information for you. And, you know, we're doing the work, we're doing that research, and we're using it to push companies for intersectional solutions that specifically work for Black women. You know, we have years of research and analysis, and we really understand the challenges that companies are going through and that women are going through and that women of color are going through. And, you know, you can count on us to keep pushing companies to adopt, you know, a solution that is looking at solutions by not just gender, not just things for all women, but by gender and race. We're really just pushing companies to move away from a one size fits all for women and, you know, really specifically pushing companies to focus on the experience of Black women at work, because we know that it is, you know, markedly different and worse. And so these are all things that you can find when you come to LeanIn and that you can help your managers and your companies find when they come to LeanIn.
That is awesome. So you guys, listen, we're going to thank Pam and Raina for taking the time to come on the show today and share the resource, the wonderful, rich, evolving, they're working hard, y'all. So use the resource that is leanin.org. And that's literally what you type into the browser, leanin.org. So simple.
It's that easy.
It's that easy. But also, what I want you guys to tell us is the best way for us to stay in touch with you and up to date with all the work that leanin.org is doing. So we know the website, but are there any other channels we should tune into?
Yeah, so when you go on our website, we also have a newsletter that's easy to sign up for. You can just put your email and we'll send you regular updates on the work that we're doing. You can also follow us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn is the same username, which is leanin.org, one word. And that's where you can keep in touch with all the great work we're doing.
Awesome sauce. Well, thank you, ladies, so much. This has been awesome. I'm going to wrap up real quick. So listen, use the resources, people. Okay? That's why I do the show. Now, if you need some help or advice about a specific situation, go to trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 30-minute consultation with me to strategize and walk through your specific work situation. In addition, you can always email me at ask@trillmba.com. I'm happy to either answer your question or connect you to the right person or resource like leanin.org if I don't have the answer. Again, that's trillmba.com/coaching for a 30-minute consult, which is $40 right now. And ask@trillmba.com if you just have a simple question, concern, comment. Just don't cuss me out, y'all. That's all I ask. So listen, until next time, go to leanin.org, check out all the resources, and tell me about your experience. Tell me what your thoughts are. I will relay that back. And hopefully when you guys launch some new cool things, you'll come back on the show and tell us about it.
Yeah, we'd love to.
Awesome.
Love that. Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you guys for being on the show. And until next time, you guys, keep it trill. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann, with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it real every day, y'all.